Welcome to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions. This is episode 3 of If Looks Could Kill. I'm your GM, Jesse Burke. And to my left, we have Joe.
Hey there, everyone.
To my right, we have Jay.
Hello.
And across, we have Layla.
Greetings.
So, do you guys remember where we left off in our last adventure? It's been a couple weeks considering KublaCon and everything else going on with life.
There was a lot of digging involved.
There was digging. You guys were helping getting the mill built, but there was some problems where the Strigani workers didn't want to go near these standing stones.
Uh-huh.
And you guys had been convinced to go and try and tear them down.
And we knocked one down.
You knocked down the big one, but not
and
before excavating it, Sam, right? And you found lots of runes and a story that was told on it, and a lot of it had been scraped away, but as you dug deeper...
I think there was a monster involved.
There was a creature that had been kind of entombed there. Mm-hmm. I think, Jay, you picked up some, like, golden, like, wrist torques. I think you got, like, 3 or 4 of those in your inventory, if I remember.
Yeah.
Might have been Joe, but
It was Jay. I was too busy drawing a picture of it.
That's right. You have a nice little booby drawing of the creature. So the emaciated corpse of with the pendulous breasts was found. But once the stone was knocked over, the dreams and all the oppressive nightmares that people were having started to fade away.
Yep.
You guys came back to town or back to the camp. Everybody was celebrating, but that evening it was discovered that Rutger Reuter, who was your original employer, was found dead by the banks of the river. And he had a variety of wounds on his body, and there were these three-toed large footprints around his body in the reeds that left off towards the swamp, which is called the Orchslam. That's the name of this. It's the haunted, the cursed swamp in the region that everybody kind of says is a bad place. So where we left off was Johanna Stiegler, which was the other person who was responsible for hiring you. It was Rutger Reuter's business partner. She encouraged...
And our witch hunter's love interest.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Momentarily.
She encouraged you guys by offering 10 gold crowns to go off and find the beast and kill it. You guys sailed across in a little boat and are entering the swamp.
I forget, did we agree on terms with her, or did we just say she... Did she say
there
she...
There was like a cash prize, a purse of gold.
All right.
So, we will jump in there. And everybody spent a few experience points in between this session and last to up a few of your stats. I don't think anybody's quite leveled up to the next career rank, but I think a lot of you are getting close.
Close, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so, away we go. To the west of Grossi, the town nearby, is a stretch of wooded swampland known as the Orchslam. The marsh is dark and eerie, a place where the wilds are said to be befouled by some lingering curse. An unhealthy brown miasma blankets everything, even on sunny days, and a noisome smell lingers above the stagnant water. The outskirts of the Orchslam are tended by turf cutters and creel fishers from the town, but foragers only enter the swamp when in desperate need of eels and crayfish. It is a place of slim pickings, tragic losses, and half-seen shapes moving in the distance. The trail that you're following is shockingly, almost comically, easy to discern on the other side of the river. A number of three-toed prints can be seen on the riverbank. I'd like each of you to perform a challenging track check, if you know how.
Hey, I just got that skill.
Track is an advanced skill, so if you don't...
What is challenging plus...
Challenging is plus zero.
What characteristic does that...
It's an advanced skill, so if you don't know how to track if you don't have it.
Got it.
I fail.
Now, tracking is advanced tracking. Like, it's not just following a footstep or something. Mm-hmm. So, you fail.
I fail so badly that, like, maybe I don't even notice the tracks.
Well, you all can see the tracks. This was an opportunity to learn a little bit more about them. You notice that some of the imprints are heavier, some are lighter than others, but otherwise nothing deeper. The prints wend their way through the honeycombed workings of turf cutters, their spades having dug deep channels through the heathery levels of the land that overflow with a clinging brown mist. The ground is treacherous underfoot. It's rarely visible through the miasma that hides soft, black, sucking mud. Soon, you find yourselves skipping between small islands rising above the fog. Solid ground with crusts where the sun has baked the peat hard, or mounds where straggly lengths of tough brown bog grass grow. And as you progress, the path becomes more overgrown. The unfenced country plays host to stands of tall birch trees bedecked with stiff, thin branches that whip to and fro. And then slowly the land begins to rise, and walking uphill through the boggy landscape is really tough going. So everybody needs to make an endurance, a challenging endurance check.
Good.
Made it.
If you fail, if you fail, you gain a fatigued condition. So good on you for avoiding that. Mm-hmm. So as you're climbing, it's getting tough going, but is that me?
That was me, sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Silent.
It's okay, it's good timing. As you're making your way through a particularly dense grove of sickly birch trees, there are sudden shouts of alarm close by. Through the gathering mist, you can see the indistinct shapes of three figures running in your direction, fleeing a much larger looming shape. So, ahead, the trees thin out around the banks of a large and muddy tarn. There are three, four... That was one of my vocab words for the episode. It's like a mountain lake. There are three foragers by the mountain lakeside pulling themselves through the mud in a blind panic, dropping their packs and staves as they attempt to flee the foul monstrosity that stalks them. So here are our three fellows. And let's have... The players, you guys will be approaching from Layla's direction. So let's, and if you have a marching order or however you want to position yourselves, these three fellows are running this way towards you. The creature is massive, nearly 20 feet in length. Towering head and shoulders above the foragers, it moves itself forward on 8 filthy legs. Gapes open its cavernous mouth.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
When did we decide we were going into the bog?
The end of the last episode.
Well, no, at the end of the last episode, we saw that somebody was killed and that some toad-like creature was going into the bog.
Yeah, and then Stiegler offering a pouch of gold to anybody who would go and do it, and you guys agreed, hopped in the boat, and went across.
I don't remember that. All right.
The creature is clearly ancient and ailing. Its palsied movements unsteady and arrhythmic. Many of its teeth are broken or missing, and its pale green skin hangs in great sagging folds around its scaly, withered frame. It squints and snuffles as it moves through the mists, its beady eyes clouded with thick cataracts. Still, it is a fearsome sight, for while the beast may be well past its prime, a blow from its shaking four-toed claws will still rip a person in two. All right, so with that, we enter combat. We enter initiative. So what I want to do now is get an order for who's going to go and when. So on your characteristic sheet, the I is your initiative. We're going to go from highest to lowest. So who has...
So wait, we've been sent specifically to kill this monster?
Yes.
Why?
I believe it's what we woke up when we moved those stones.
I'm not sure about that, but I think it's maybe pre-existing.
I'm having trouble with my motivation here.
So what's happened so far, this is all kind of going back to last episode. Near the end of last episode, what the party agreed to do was, for the gold offered by Stiegler to kill the creature that murdered her business partner, Rutger Reuter, you guys agreed to go across the lake and go hunt it down.
For Tangle.
For the whatever's in the bag of gold, yeah.
Oh.
It sounded like a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
Whatever's in the bag. So it could be pennies.
I guess it could be, but I think she said it was gold. She did say it was gold. So let's this creature is the beast of the Orshlam. It is a basilisk. So we'll go out of game here and do a little kind of like history lesson on creatures. You guys are aware of basilisk, whether or not you've seen one or not. This is a creature that from lore you may know exists. Let me tell you a little bit about what you might know.
Hundreds of them in World of Warcraft.
Hundreds
of them.
So here's what like a healthy one might look like down here in the bottom.
Oh yes.
Okay. They're formidable. These eight-legged reptilian creatures are solitary and elusive, claim to be one of the most ancient creatures of chaos. They are said to be filled with such spite and venom the very ground they walk on is poisoned. Their bite, too, is poisonous, but it is their petrifying gaze that most fear. Rarely encountered these days, basilisks are a most dangerous foe. Their glands and organs are highly prized by wizards and alchemists, so opportunist hunters often chase rumors of basilisks in the wild places, though few return. So to give you an idea of what this one looks like...
We're gonna kill it.
...is that guy. So he looks old, aged, and fading.
Wow, that looks nothing like the healthy one you showed us.
Does that mean that we shouldn't look it in the eyes?
Well, it probably can't see us with those large cataracts that it's got in its eyes.
So its stat profile here reflects its age and everything. So I'm not going to tell you what that is yet, but just cool. To know it's not it'll be reflected in gameplay.
I'm going to ready my bow and kill this thing.
All right, so I want to know, does anybody have a particularly high initiative?
50.
50 is pretty high.
No, I'm at 35.
33.
Okay, so that's going to be Layla. Joe. Basilisk's initiative is 15. And then these three fellows, who you have yet to meet, are Hans, Gert, and Friedrich.
Hans.
EFG.
HFG.
HFG.
All right, Jay. So the way combat works, again, as a refresher, is as your initiative order comes up, you have movement and an action. An action is anything that really requires a dice roll. Anything other than that, like speaking and other role-playing stuff, you can play out pretty freely unless they determine it's...
Well, I think at this point, we're going to need that one chart that you had out for shooting.
Yep. All right. Here, I'll get it for you. So you find out it's this thing classified as an enormous creature.
It is. Okay.
Let's see where that big chart goes. Here you go. So what is your plan, Jay? You have first initiative.
Well, I think I'm going to shoot at the thing they're running from.
All right. So I'm going to give you... he's still at a fair distance in range, so I'm going to give you a penalty for range of minus 10, but apply whatever other positive modifiers you might have.
What are we going to have that he's large?
Yeah.
A large target orc size or a giant one?
He counts as
20 feet. So
enormous, if that matters.
Okay, the size of a griffin.
Yeah.
So I would get plus 40?
That's plus 40.
So it's really plus 30 then because you're giving me a minus 10?
Correct.
Okay.
You may also have some minuses for like long range. Let's add another minus 10 for long range.
Okay.
Sorry, I already
good,
said
then.
That. Sorry.
Yeah,
that was.
We're good.
You hit?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we want to do now is how many success levels you
by
got?
By two.
And then, so you're going to take two plus the damage of your bow, which is going to be on the back here.
Strength bonus plus 4.
On your bow?
SD plus 4?
Let me correct that one then. I think all ranged weapons just have a fixed value. That might have been my mistake. Going to the market... All hand-to-hand weapons take your strength into account, but a bow doesn't, because you can't really apply your strength to the arrow. Take it back. There it is. You do get your strength bonus for the elven bows give you strength bonuses. So yeah, it's your strength bonus plus 4 plus your success levels.
And that's that, right?
Mm-hmm. The 10's value of your strength.
Okay, so then I guess that's going to be 7?
7? Alright, so that is going to be minus his toughness and minus his armor. You see the arrow sink into its flesh. It is unclear how much damage that truly did to it, though.
Alright.
What do you want to do about movement?
It's got a quality of damaging. That does that have any effect in that?
Damaging. Did we write down what that is? Because that one,
I just have quality as damaging.
Okay, let's grab that one real quick because we might end up using that. Damaging can be you are allowed to use the higher score of your success levels or. I'm sorry, let me read it. A damaging weapon can use the higher score from either the unit's die of the success level to determine the damage caused from a successful hit. For example, if you roll a 34 for your attack test and your target number was 52, you can choose to use the success levels, which were 2, or the unit's die, which was 4. So do you recall what you rolled?
A 52.
Okay, so you can use the one's die, the one's digit, as your damage or the success levels, whichever is higher.
It was the same then, right? It was 2.
In that case, it was the same.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll remember that for the next shot and see if it plays into anything. Layla, you're up. Oh, I'm sorry, Jay. Did you want to move at all or prepare yourself in any way? These guys are like in sight. This thing's just on the horizon, coming out of the mist.
I guess I'm in a battle stance. I don't know. Does that matter?
Well, it's a matter of, if you wanted to run forward, I would like to know. If you want to run backwards, I'd like to know. If you're going to stand there, totally fine.
I think I'm going to stay there for a moment.
All right, Layla, you're up.
Are the three of those guys going to stick around and help us?
Seeing the first arrow fly by, they noticed it. They haven't yet reacted to it, but...
Are they from the camp? Like, do we recognize them?
You can make a perception check as your action, if you like.
That means I can't move?
It means you can't do any other actions. You can still move.
Well, I want to do two things. I want to know that, but then I also want to take stock of the surroundings to see if I can find some advantageous spot to fight from.
Okay, and if we want to call that your whole turn, I'm good with that. Okay, whichever order you want to do them in.
Well, I'll do them first.
Okay.
Perception. I pass.
Okay, you take a quick look at them. It's a little difficult to tell from the distance, but the one who is leading the charge / flee, whatever you want to call it, he is familiar. You're not quite sure how to place it. He's not one of the Strigani, so he's not one of the workers. They look like normal Empire citizens. They're grimy commoners for sure. Though you seem to recall you might have seen him speaking with Stiegler when you guys first arrived, but you can't quite remember anything more than that.
Okay. And then for the...
Kind of obsessing the situation.
Mm-hmm. Is that also perception?
Yes. Or intuition, if you want to use that.
Mm-hmm. I do want to use my intuition. Failed that one.
I'm grabbing these gems here for us. These are going to be your advantage tokens. So, Jay, you gained an advantage by successfully hitting your opponent. The advantage tokens are worth plus 10 to any roll you make.
Okay.
That is related to the combat. As soon as you get hit or miss an attack, all advantage is lost.
I failed my intuition roll, so...
Okay. It's foggy. It's mucky. It's a complex terrain.
I'll stand next to Jay's character.
Dornfin,
and wait.
For next episode, I'm going to get like little name cards.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
I want to call us by character more often. Okay, that brings us to Joe.
All right, Reinhardt here. Reinhardt. All right, so distance-wise, can I bring myself to... the gentlemen who are fleeing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and do that. And I would like to put myself between them and the basilisk, if possible. And I shout to them, "Gird up your loins, brethren. Sigmar and his disciples shall prevail this day."
You write it down ahead of time to get your speech ready.
Thanks for calling me out on stream.
That's awesome. That's great. No, I wanted to call you out because that's a great technique. I like it. Okay, so let's call it a leadership check.
Yep.
And then I'll give you plus 10 for role playing it out.
Oh yeah.
But okay, so they see that you guys are turning to confront the creature, and you can see in their eyes that they are motivated and kind of compose themselves a bit. They stop and turn around and begin to put up a defense. Now that you've gotten a chance to see them, they all have kind of a similar look. Lank, dark hair, thick growths of stubble. They wear modest peasant garb in various shades of green, gray, and brown. Of particular note are their boots, which are wrapped in swathes of sodden fur. Hans, who's the leader, he'll be the guy in red here, has a rough face and is clearly used to violence. His nose has been broken several times and has visible scars to show it. He speaks in a breathy stammer and punctuates his speech with profanities. And then Gerd, he points out here, Gerd is the guy with the shield. Gert, G-U-R-D-T, is smaller and leaner than his companions. He's, let's see, and then in Hans, the third one here, Hans is this guy. Frederick is the third one. He's overweight and sweaty and sweats constantly. And they all have, they're all carrying either a net, like an eel hook, like kind of like a little scythe hook that they can catch eels with, or a hand axe. And they turn around and they appear already a little worse for wear. They're not coming into this this conflict without already having seen some action. But they turn around and prepare to make a new stand. Mm-hmm. All right, and that brings us to the three of them, which is going to be that. They are going to compose themselves and prepare a line to receive the beast. Which brings us to the basilisk, the beast. The beast has options. This will be fun. The beast is going to close the distance in its kind of like wallopy gait with its 8 four-toed legs, and it is going to let out a gurgling roar of intimidation. And it is going to intimidate you fellows right in front of it, maybe. So, intimidate is against your willpower. It is a contested roll, so it's going to be targeting the group here. So, Joe and the three companions here.
So, like, do we test my willpower and then they add 10 to it or something?
So it's
going to
be, as a group. I think what we're going to do is do each person individually here.
Okay.
And I want to, because what happens is if you fail this, there's going to be some repercussions of, like, your nerve.
Mm-hmm.
So the beast is going to be in red, and this is going to be against, or I'll do you first. We're doing for who has the most success levels?
I have one. Had 3 success levels.
All right, you keep your cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use cool for this. Cool or willpower, whichever is higher.
They're both exactly the same.
Okay, and these guys, their willpower is that. Hans has no problem with this. He's already witnessed the scream before. Let's see. Gert is affected by the intimidation, and so is Friedrich. So let me look up real quick here how Intimidate works. Intimidate is one we haven't used yet, so I wanted to... Not sure if you get the broken condition, or if it's a... Where is it? Where are you? Sorry guys, this is the one that I... Intimidate is right here. Intimidate is against cool. Target will back down or move away if successful. There we go. So, during these two guys' next move, they must back down or turn away. So I'm going to move them back a little bit. All right, top of the round, Jay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to shoot, but I'm going to move up just a little bit.
And you no longer suffer the range penalty then from your new position.
Okay.
So you get to add 10 to your roll.
And then I get my 30 that I was doing, so I'm plus 40 to my thing, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We're good by 7.
Good by 7. All right, that's going to be a strong hit.
So it's strength bonus plus 4, so 7 damage.
Mm-hmm. Strength bonus plus 4?
Yeah.
But what's the total, though? It's going to be
7 total.
Plus
the success level.
Plus the success level.
Then levels. 14.
Okay. 14, yaza. Okay, so 14 minus his toughness of 5 brings it down to 9. Minus 1 for his armor means 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. The Layla, you are up.
The Layla is up.
I thought it was the beast, but...
Bernie is going to... I'll come. How far am I allowed to run?
If you want to run, you can kind of work your way. This is probably 2 or 3 movement sections. Kind of figure it like the back of the fight, middle of the fight, and then the.
I'll come stand with the alphabet crew and.
The
witch hunter. Yeah, because they're GF and H, HFG.
Oh.
EFG, H. Whatever.
You can get those letters.
Yeah, G, F, A, they're all sequential.
Uh-huh.
So I get another token, right?
You do.
And then I can't do anything. Is there like a rock nearby?
Sure.
Throw a rock at Adam.
All right, so that's going to be a ballistic skill check. It's going to be an improvised weapon, so that's going to suffer a minus 10. But otherwise, you can throw the rock for a strength bonus amount of damage plus your success levels.
What's a ballistic?
So that's going to be one of your core stats up here, the BS.
The BS? Okay, and you said what?
Minus 10 to your target for an improvised weapon.
Hey there.
I roll a 17, so I have... So if I'm... If it's 43 minus 10, so 33... Okay, so I have 2 success levels.
Okay, and what's your strength?
Strength is 35.
Okay, so plus 3. So that's 5 damage going at it, which you hit it with a rock. It bounces off its sickly skin, but does something, you think?
Does it deter it at all?
No.
No,
it does not. Joe, or rather, Reinhardt.
Hmm. All right, let's get up in the mix. Are we able to get up into his face at all?
Oh, you sure can. So charging into combat is the way to enter combat. That confers a free advantage just for going in.
Okay.
Is that where you're going in hand-to-hand?
Oh, yeah.
All right. There's your advantage. Joe closes the gap. Reinhardt closes the gap.
All right,
what are we doing? We are doing a contested... melee roll.
Alright, knuckle dusters.
Could maybe, like, the rock, like, bothered him and now Joe has more momentum?
You got a point of damage for the rock. That was what it did.
At, right. five success levels.
You hit him, you get through his attack, it's the difference between our success levels. He has 1 success level. You have
5.
So you have a net of 4.
4. Okay, so strength bonus is...
And did you count your plus 10?
Nope.
So you have 5 then.
All right.
And because you successfully hit, you get a second advantage.
Beautiful. Strength bonus is 4 plus 2, 6 plus 5, and 11 damage.
11, all right. And he soaks up 6 of it, so that is 5 points. All right, that brings us down to Hans. Hans, feeling encouraged by the witch hunter running into combat, is going to do the same. He will run in there and swing mightily his sword. The red will still be the beast. All right, he rolls a 10. That's nice, and the beast rolls a 70. So ooh, the beast is nice. At minus 3. He is at plus 2 for a difference of 5. But he also has an advantage, so that's a difference of 6. So he hits for 6 at 7. So he hits for 13 minus 6 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh man, the NPCs are hitting harder than me.
Right. He got a good.
That's a really there. Awesome yeah. roll.
These two guys compose themselves and are ready to re-engage next turn. The basilisk is going to. So now that you're up in front of it, it's big. It's much bigger than you. It's like. It towers about. It's like two horses tall.
Oh my!
And a couple horses long. Like it's
so. In my mind, I was punching it in the face with my knuckle duster. I was actually like punching him in the schlong.
You hit him in the shin.
In the shin.
Yeah. But you mean you actually? I mean you're up hitting it, and it smells terrible. It's got this like this sickly age decay going on. It is going to do two things this turn. The first thing it's going to do is it is going to look at you. Joe looks at Reinhardt and it tries to lock eyes with you, and you can see it's kind of like faded milky eyes, but it has a certain muscle posture that it takes that's different from it like making an attack. It's trying to like use its vision,
right?
And it looks at you and you can't help but kind of lock eyes with it, so we have a thing to do here. It's going to use its stony gaze.
Don't fall.
All right, so it's his ballistic skill versus your initiative. All right, so
okay. All
right, so he rolls a 50.
Oof, 68 over here.
So how are you doing on success levels?
Six doubles.
He rolls a minus four.
Minus two.
Minus two. All right, you managed to shrug off the gaze as It looks like it's trying to do something it knows how to do, but it's not quite connecting, and it looks frustrated, and it kind of spins its back and whips you with its tail.
Okay.
And in doing so... This is going to be a contested roll. Minus two.
Against my toughness here? What are we
This rolling? Is a melee attack, so all hand-to-hand combat is melee attack versus melee attack.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so then I have two success levels then.
And don't forget, you do still get
four success levels.
All right, so you succeed. You manage to dodge the blow and jump out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, new combat, or new round. Dorinfin.
Yep,
good solid hit.
Yeah, so success level of 3. For would be 10 total damage.
One too many. All right, Bernie.
It was like him saying hi.
Is there any elevated ground anywhere near him?
You guys are attacking him from a slightly elevated position as he's kind of coming out of the lake, the mountain lake.
Like, is there any way to reach him at eye level?
You'd have to kind of get up to him and like when his head bobs around and maybe comes down to bite you or something, yeah. It is looking rather worse for wear though at the moment.
Yeah. All right. I'll get in there.
Charging in here, have an advantage.
Charge. And what do I roll?
All right, so it's going to be an opposed melee check.
Melee.
And you're looking for whoever has the most success levels.
And this gives me 10?
Yep.
7.
Ooh, no.
So I have 0 success levels.
I'm at minus 2.
All right, so your attack misses.
Yeah.
Let's see, that was Bernie, so Reinhardt.
Does that mean that if she misses, the advantages go away?
Yes.
Right, okay. All right, let's punch him in the shin again.
Ah, it's pissed off at you. You gathered its ire.
All right, cool. 2, 4 success levels.
Minus 1, so 3.
3, all right. 3 plus, let's see, strength bonuses. 4 plus 2, so 6 plus, what was my success levels, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 6 plus 3, 9.
9, all right. 1, 2, 3, 4... Oops, sorry, that was way too
three.
Many. 3, yeah, he has, you should just write that. He soaks in 6.
One, 2.
All right, and that puts us down to Hans. Hans is going to encourage the rest of his friends to join in and try and help them take down the beast. So he will do a leadership check. He fails. His speech was ineffective. And then he will take a swipe with his dagger, or hand axe, rather. That's what I said he had. He unfortunately misses, though. These two guys are feeling uninspired to join the combat, but they are going to. One of them starts to make a move around the side, and this guy makes a move around this side. And that brings us to the Basilisk, who, let's see, we got Bernie, we got Reinhardt, and we got Hans. I really want him to hit you guys and actually do something. All he's done is take a lot of damage so far. I was like really I was worried you guys were going to get cut in half.
You forgot who was going against
him. Yeah, well, I mean, you guys like had a couple of incredible rolls at the beginning. All right, he is going to attack with his mighty bite on Reinhardt. He needs to take away all that dumb advantage you have because you got another one. Because
oh yeah.
All right, he's gonna mess you up.
Ah, shit. So let's see. 3, 5.
Its bite looks zero. Like it's dripping like just gross things from its teeth. You can see that like teeth have fallen out and are like it's like visibly decaying.
Right.
And like
I got a failure, but it's zero.
Okay. He got a -4, so he snaps out at you, and you can just smell the sour poison or venom.
Scrappy breath.
Oh, he's got scrappy breath. You know, like a Komodo dragon, like it bites you, you get like sepsis. And, like,
oh yeah.
Kinda, it's got that kind of thing. Like mm-hmm. There's just like this drool. Of stuff pouring off of it that is absolutely rancid.
Does it sizzle as it hits the ground?
almost.
Okay.
All right, and then with its last thing, it is going to take a step back, and it looks like it's going to try and prepare another gaze to try and look through one of you. Brings us up to Dorinfin.
Okay, so at this point, I can't miss. So in my success levels, do I count them above 100?
You can always miss on 100, but otherwise your automatic successes are
so 100 is an automatic miss then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think technically it's 95.
Success levels are good.
Okay, so then I'm a success level of 6 plus 7, 13.
13 minus 6. All right. All right. It is looking visibly messed up. It is holding itself up. It's falling and like crumpling onto its leg and then pulling itself back up as it moves about.
You should aim for its eye. Like, can we determine?
So that would be an aim shot. Aim shots get score critical hits in addition to whatever you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So those can be some cool options for you if you want to make your shots harder to hit. But do cooler things.
And is there another chart that I have to go off of for that?
No, I'm going to kind of wing it because I don't remember the rule exactly, but we'll make it like 20 points harder, but you cause a critical hit if you hit.
Okay.
And a critical hit has a table we can do some cool stuff.
Okay.
It can cause like bleeding conditions, extra damage, who knows what.
Okay, I didn't know that. Cool. We'll do that next time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bernie Sanders, you're up.
Is its head low enough to the ground right now where I could try to aim for its eyes?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to try to do that.
What are you attacking it with?
My sword.
Ah! Roar! Ooh, he did a good roll.
I did not.
All right, well, he manages to dodge your attack quite deftly, and but you charged into combat, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, he wants to eat
you. Not that it did anything for me.
He wants to eat you.
He wants to eat me?
Yeah. Reinhardt.
Charge forward. Does that give me another token, or is it just like a one-time deal?
You haven't missed yet, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Charge is a charge. You tried to disengage, so yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's see if we can finish this beast.
No, I would like it to hit one of you guys once and do all the cool things that it does.
This could happen. This could definitely happen
right,
here.
Well, I got positive 3.
Okay, so let's see. I got positive 1.
Yes, you lose all your advantage, and you miss him, and he's going to eat you. He's going to eat both of you.
So angry.
All right. These guys are going to hold back. They look a little hesitant in that they're comfortable letting you guys finish off the hard work.
Of course.
They're feeling... They're looking to save their own hides at this point. It is going to lash out at its tail at Bernie and bite Reinhardt. So, Bernie, you first.
The tailor?
Yep.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, yours might be not as bad. I got minus three.
Minus five.
Yes. Okay. I mean, yes. So you had the tail, right?
Bite.
No, you get the bite because you went after his eyes. All right, the bite is... That's not going to be much because I had minus three and you had minus five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so minus three. So he does four, but he's also an enormous versus you, which means he does double damage to smaller things. So he does 8 points of damage to you.
Oof.
So that is... mitigated by your toughness bonus, which is the tens value of your toughness, and any armor you're wearing.
You said how many?
It's going to be eight.
Eight minus three.
And you get hit
five.
In oh, your right foot. Leg.
Bit in the foot.
Do I not have armor? I thought I did.
I thought you did.
Oh, I do have armor. So I have armor in my leg.
Your right leg is where you've been bit.
I don't have any armor there.
Okay, so that means you just get to reduce the damage by your toughness value.
So I take five.
Okay, and then a couple other things are going to happen here. He is infected and venomous.
Ew.
If wounded, you need to make an easy, which is plus 40, endurance check, or gain a festering wound.
Ooh, don't fail.
I succeed. By a lot.
By a lot. Okay. But you also gain a poisoned condition.
Mm.
So let me find you. Oh, it's right here on the front. These ones, I'll read off the basics here. Oop, that's prone. Sorry. Poisoned. Here we go.
Hello.
You have been poisoned. At the end of each round, you lose a wound, ignoring all modifiers. You suffer minus 10 to all tests. If you hit zero wounds, something bad happens. At the end of every round, you get to make an endurance test at zero difficulty. Every time you pass one, you get to remove a poison condition.
Okay.
So until then, you suffer from that. And Joe, you are getting hit by his scraggly tail.
We'll see.
Oh, and he gets an advantage for that.
I succeed. Zero success levels.
52, 52 by 55. He also succeeds at zero.
Tie goes to...
Gosh, what does tie go to?
Player. Come on. Tie always goes to player.
Goes to the player. Yeah,
it's a stat. No, it's always to a stat. It's whoever has the highest weapon skill. So his is 25.
Weapon skill?
Yeah.
40.
40, okay. So it goes to you.
All right.
And he loses his advantage. All right, that now is back to that's the end of the round, so you suffer an additional wound, Bernie.
Okay.
And you also now get to make an endurance check to see if you can shrug off the poison. So let's be mindful as we're doing attacks. Attacks that roll doubles are either critical hits or fumbles. So forgetting to pay attention to those, but let's start adding that to the...
I don't think I've rolled a double yet, but...
I succeeded.
Okay, so you shrug off the poison, but not after suffering a wound from it.
Okay.
Top of the round is Dorinfin.
Okay. I'm going to make an aim shot then. And
the eyeball?
Yeah, let's go for the eyeball.
All right. So let's take a minus 20 to your hit.
A minus 20 to my hit. Okay.
But
I still can't miss.
Do you have that many advantages already?
Yep, I'm at 120 right now.
He needs
now.
To like look at you and be like,
yeah.
He's good. He's got arrows stuck like deep inside him now.
So, oh yeah, that's really nice. So it's a success level of 7.
I need to throw more creatures than one.
Yeah. So that's what, 14 damage?
14, alright, that brings him to 8.
And in the eye?
And in the eye, yeah, what's that do? I hit him in the eye for the 7.
Okay, so roll me a d100 for the critical table. Let's see what else cool happens to him.
63
is a cracked bone for an additional 3 damage. The creature gains the stunned condition. All tests suffer a minus 10 penalty until it until it receives healing.
You broke his ocular.
Yeah.
Nice!
Okay, so
I should have been doing that aim shot the whole time.
Well, now we know that your shooting abilities are dangerous.
Yeah. Well, when I've got the stacking bonus like this, yeah.
Okay, well, that is enough to put the creature down. That last arrow hits it in the head, and it falls over and slumps into the mud, and its skin just kind of like sags out. Like, it's still attached to it, but it just looks like it's been decaying. Like a creature that's been like on the savannah, dried and decayed.
Probably did it a favor.
It's kind of mixed with the mud now, but it's at your feet. The smell is horrendous.
And then its son comes out.
I want to ask somebody to cut this creature's head off. We need to mount this thing.
I don't think so.
I think it's bigger than that.
Why don't you come a little closer and get away?
Hey, cut it off. I'll drag the thing back to camp.
Vito.
Well, I mean, you guys, what do you want to do with it?
Well, I think...
Does anything change once it dies?
I think...
It's dead. I think we need to harvest this thing.
Harvest it for what?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a ballast. This thing is very rare. This thing's got some stuff that's...
Oh, you want to take its parts?
Yeah. That's like, fine. Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe its toenails, its...
It's pretty old. I mean, like...
Yeah, but toenails mean nothing when to an alchemist or...
I will take no part in this heretical endeavor. Leave me out of it.
Just for fun, there is a whole section here on harvesting it.
Let's harvest it. Yeah.
There is.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
So this thing's
large, so you will have to figure out... I mean, like, the head, sure, you can probably manage the head, but if you're going to want to take more than the head, you're probably going to need to elicit some help from your colleagues here.
Okay, well, we'll forget about the head for the moment.
Also,
you want to take its toenails?
Well, we're going to need proof.
But hold on, before that, because there's still a little bit of socializing that probably needs to happen here before you guys ignore the other people who are here and go straight to cutting this thing to pieces. Once the basilisk is slain, the survivors here respond with heartfelt gratitude, and they are willing to help you guys return to the lake, though they... they admit that they don't want to go anywhere near the building site.
What's wrong with the building site? Why won't you guys go near that?
They say that we're actually from the town, and they point kind of across the lake. You can't really see it anymore, but you know that the town of Grassi is in that direction. You could see it from the building site.
Well,
they said that building site's cursed. We don't want anything to do with it.
Well?
Maybe it's not cursed anymore. Now that we've killed this thing?
Well, I thought that we lifted that curse when we unearthed the grave markers over there.
The creature that was there, huh?
We didn't kill it. It was already dead. We
robbed its gravesite, I guess.
So I thought that when we did that, that's what released this creature out of the bog.
I don't think so. I think that creature was hanging around... Anyways, wasn't it?
You think there are two separate creatures, this one and a separate one, from released by the statue things that we knocked over?
I just think there might have been two factors at work here. The dreams from that cursed grave marker as part one, and I think part two was this creature that was haunting the area. Maybe they were working in tandem to spook the people.
Well, they do have actually something they want to say here. So they say they doubt they would have survived were it not for you guys who they met you as they were fleeing. They so they've come from Grassi just this morning looking to trap some eel in the swamp. They were told the tales of the great beast within the swamp from their old Nana's knee, but never once thought they'd actually find it in person. Shalia's blessings upon you for your help.
Had they come out here before?
They said, "Oh yeah, we've been hunting eel and stuff before, but
so it was never there before.
We've never encountered it,
right?
Oh.
Now, since you guys are all kind of on that train of thought, you guys can each make a -10 intelligence check to recall some details from the past that might aid you.
Nope.
-10.
Yeah.
I'm making the same roll.
If you like, yeah. This is just to refresh some details.
What was it?
Intelligence. to try and connect some dots?
No.
All right. One of the members, Gert, begins walking back to where they had ditched their packs, and heads back there to go gather their things. Meanwhile, Hans will be the kind of point of contact if you want to talk to them.
Yeah, so given that we slayed this thing, I'm pretty sure whatever curse was on the building site has been released.
Hans nods. He says, "Well, that's really good to hear. We'll maybe we can all help each other get back. You can help us get back to town. Well, you know, we'll part ways there."
Fair enough.
Is the town the opposite direction of the building site?
Like, he's clearly saying he doesn't want to go back to the building area.
Well, why does he need to?
The building area would be somewhat on the way back, and then the town is beyond, on the other side of the lake.
But we haven't... Okay.
So, like, we'd go from the swamp to the building site over to the town.
Okay.
They would like to not... go back to the town or to the building site.
Oh, okay.
They were pretty useless anyways.
I mean, I'll help Doran Finn carry certain items off of the corpse.
Yeah, you guys gonna start harvesting?
Let's butcher this thing.
I will not.
Alright.
Why not? You're the witch dude, you might need some of this.
Hans asks if they can partake in the harvesting as well.
Sure, but what's he going to do with it?
He says, I assume it's worth something.
No.
You guys seem interested. Do you have a problem if we partake?
No. Plenty for all of us. All
right, so everybody jumps in. This guy comes back lugging their three bags and their some of their goods. As you are... everybody who is working on... What are you doing?
Just rolling for no reason.
Oh. Call it out, always say, like, I'm observing something interesting.
Okay, I was totally observing something interesting, and I succeeded by a lot.
Okay. That is a good roll, right?
It is, actually. Because
I have something to give.
Okay.
Two things now. Those of you who are working on the basilisk, I'm going to call for a... thanks. I'm going to call for a perception check as well. But meanwhile, Reinhardt, you noticed that the guy who went back here and picked up all of his things... It looked like he was kind of rummaging through his stuff, and he didn't look like he gathered everything that they left.
Mm. Okay.
And then came back.
I was successful, but just barely.
You notice that the basilisk has four toes. You recall that all the footprints you saw leading out here...
Oh, yeah. Three toes.
This is definitely not the creature, then.
Well, it's a creature.
Yeah, dead one.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Your name. What's your name there?
Guy down here?
Yeah.
Gert?
Gert, come here.
Gert.
Come here for a sec.
Gert, you know, he reluctantly comes over to you.
I noticed you, picking up your things over there, it looks like you may have left something behind.
Our walking staves. We didn't need them anymore. They were broken.
Well, let me go get them for you. I'll head over there.
Fine. It's fine. We don't.
No, you guys look like you've seen a lot of trouble. Don't mind me. I'm letting these idiots do their thing. So, let me go grab that pack for you.
He doesn't look like he's going to stop you. He's. If you want, this is the three of them. They're not like. You know, they're not fighters. You're talking to the fat guy here. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's like Sam from Game of Thrones. he walks back with you. He looks a little nervous as the two of you kind of walk back to the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see there are three pairs of walking sticks. And then at the end of each one is a wooden cutout of a three-toed footprint.
Mm-hmm. What do we have here? These are the strangest looking walking sticks I've ever seen. If I were to make a guess, I would say that you guys are trying to act like
He says, no. These are specially designed to capture and hunt eels in the swamp.
Keep speaking.
He tries to show you and like maneuvers it, and like it's definitely like stuck in the mud in a weird spot. He struggles to get it back out.
We're in the swamp. Catch me an eel.
Well, they're not any around here. They would have been further around. We did catch some this morning, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he kind of like, you know, huffs, like reshoulders the bag of their goods that he has on his back.
Okay. Let me paint you a picture. Gert, is it?
Yeah, Gert.
Yeah. Friend of ours back at the site that you refused to go to was found dead. His body was dragged to the river with three-toed marks following along the same path. He was bloodied and killed, and he's dead now. And those same tracks are where his body were. So, does that just happen to be a coincidence? Are those prime eel hunting grounds? Let's go back over there and catch me an eel over there. Intimidate.
All right, intimidate against his willpower of not much.
Succeed? Well, you tell me how much challenging it is, I guess.
It'll be just straight up. He's at +2. He kind of like firms up, like he probably always has done every time he's been in trouble, and gets ready to bear whatever's coming at him.
I'm at +2 as well.
All right, so who has a higher willpower? He's got 35.
43.
All right, you get it.
All right.
All right, he gets... All right, fine.
He
starts spilling it. But before he reveals what's going on, you guys are over there harvesting away.
Mm-hmm.
So, without forcing you to tell me what you want to harvest, I'll kind of give you a little bit of sense of the stuff that's available to you as you kind of carve away at this thing. You could bring it back live. That part's passed. You can bring back the entire corpse. That's probably difficult, and it's probably going to fall apart while you pull it. So, skin and bones might be valuable to like a museum or a college. You might have some internal organs might be worth valuable to an apothecary. You know of Cordelia's apothecary in Ubersreich. That might be a place you could visit.
Can we take a step back and just like talk about like how their character would know these things? Like,
I think there's probably a general knowledge in the world that magical creatures and their parts are probably prized by wizards or collectors or even apothecaries, and I only know the basilisk one because it's in the adventure, but two, the kind of common description had a call out for it being something that is kind of it's like it'd be the equivalent of like elephant tusks or like
I'm just wondering like how we would know what parts to pick off of this thing.
That, I'll probably call for a roll for like this how well you do at extracting it, because I think there's definitely a big margin for error. But
also where are we gonna put these things?
I'm gonna leave that up to you guys once you decide what you want to try and cart back. But
just
I want to
say it in the most loving way possible.
Yeah. I just kind of want to throw out some ideas because I don't really expect you to pull out of thin air. Like, I'm gonna get his like scent gland or something, right? Like, but let's just kind of see what's here because it's fun stuff. There are markets potentially for the beast flesh. Ogres maybe I like to eat some of it. There are options for some kind of cooking stuff. Its meats might be valuable. There might be prime cuts. No. Yeah. So it's up to you guys what you think might be valuable.
I'm going to focus on the least smelly and decayed parts of the beast.
The only parts of the beast that seem to not sag and fall apart as you touch them are the hard stuff. Teeth, horns, claws, and the bones.
I'll focus on those.
Like its toenails.
Toenails.
Which are very ragged and broken and splintered.
Teeth.
The teeth come out surprisingly easy.
Dornfin, you can do the wet work?
Yeah.
All right. So
I'll flay it open for some of its organs or...
So you cut its chest cavity open and kind of expose it, and it's just a mess inside. Like, it's not a coherent creature on the inside. As this thing was decaying on the outside, its insides are in poor shape. You do see the somewhat structure of an innard. Do you have any medical knowledge? It would probably be an advanced skill, like a medicine or any kind of anything surgery related. Okay, so you're not familiar with the inner workings of a creature. So you pull this thing open. You know that creatures have innards, but identifying what does what and how they interconnect is beyond you.
Well, I'd be able to make out what its heart is.
Maybe. Right? Maybe. I mean, you got to take your player back. I mean, maybe you would know that the creatures have hearts. You know, maybe you don't know what this thing looks like. But what I'm telling you is it's like a black, soupy mess inside of there. And do you want to put your hands in it?
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Your character may have not had an anatomy class, so you may actually not know what a heart looks like.
And being an elf, I assume you're a little more educated than most. But I am. But yeah, you've never seen or studied the anatomy of a basilisk, so you're making presumptions that these things are in here. You're probably
okay. Correct. Well, then my best bet then is screw this and cut the head off. And I'm dragging the head back to camp.
All right,
take the whole head.
The toothless head.
We gotta prove we killed it. Because
Bernie, you took the teeth, right?
The
teeth and nails.
Yeah.
And so the teeth, nail, and horns are in your possession.
Yeah.
The head is in your possession.
Sure.
Or you are dragging the head. The one of these two guys offers their nets, their fishing nets that you can like wrap around it. So you're kind of, so instead of like hoisting it, you can kind of like drag it along the ground behind you.
Gert, you wanted to say something.
Gert did want to say. So as Gert begins to kind of spill the beans, Hans notices and says, "Okay." What are you exactly saying?
I am saying that your buddy Gert here was about to tell me exactly what you fellas have been up to.
And he walks over here to kind of... And Gert takes a few steps back because Hans is obviously the leader here. And they let him take the lead in the conversation. And they kind of try to step to the side or behind Hans to give him the authority to speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Hans says, so what is it you think we've done?
I pull out the stick so that it's visible to my compadres here.
He sees it.
I say, I explained to the same story that I just told Gert. I said, you know, found our buddy at the camp there that you refused to go to. He's dead. These exact tracks matching these footprints are there. The monster we just killed here has four toes, not three. We have seen no other monster in this area. Now, explain to me how this is an eel-catching device, because we're about to go back to the site where our friend died so that you can catch me an eel there.
He says, unless you've got some kind of accusation, I think we should leave.
I do have an accusation, and you will not leave. I dare you to try.
All right, he looks around, seeing that there's three of you and three of them, and they all reach for their weapons.
Oh, good. Initiative. Let's do this.
All right, we already know the initiative order, so let's go back over here.
Do I still get all my bonuses or no?
Do not kill them, friends. Do not kill them.
Is that what you're saying?
I am saying do not kill them.
Hold your blows. All right, Dorinfin.
Dorinfin, do not kill them.
You know what? I think the Dorinfin and Bernie, since they were not part of this exchange, are going to be at the bottom of the rotation. So we're going to start with Reinhardt.
All right, charge in.
Who are you charging at?
Oh, the leader, of course.
Are you going after Hans?
Yep.
All right, Hans is ready for you. Hans is going... Oh, there's another thing you can do. Some of you in combat, there is... You know, the weapon skill is an option for you for opposing combat. You also have the dodge skill. So check out your dodge skill and compare it to your weapon skill. Is it higher or lower?
Lower.
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 Okay. if your dodge skill were to be higher, you could use that instead of your weapon skill to completely avoid an attack. Dodge is going to be based on your agility, so if you're particularly nimble, that could be an alternative way to avoid combat.
All right.
He rolls a positive one.
Three success levels.
All right, you hit him.
All right, so three plus six and nine.
They have no armor. Nine. Mm-hmm. All right, he takes six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Oops, I went the wrong way.
Give up now while you still can.
He is not ready to give up yet. Hans is going to attack you. Plus one.
Ooh. Minus two.
So it's three. He hits you for ten.
Ten?
Yep.
Woof.
With his axe.
All right. Toughness four, so six.
Oh, he hits you in the right foot, right leg.
Okay.
All right, and then Gert, who feels emboldened by Hans's daring move, also attacks you. And he goes in for 20.
Oh, man.
20 is plus one.
Okay, I have a plus four.
Nope, sorry, that's a plus three.
I have a plus four.
Plus three. Okay, so he misses. And then lastly, the other guy turns around and makes a jumping attack towards Dornfin.
What?
To try and subdue you guys before you get a chance.
And what am I rolling and what am I?
This is going to be a weapon skill attack. Ooh, 07. That's going to be a plus five.
Whoa!
Okay.
He attacks you with his eel hook.
I'm right on it.
You're zero. Zero? Okay, yep. So five. He hits you for 12.
Jesus.
So I take my strength.
Toughness.
Minus also, and also six. Include any armor points you have on your.
So.
Feet.
I'll take six.
Six. Okay, so six wounds. All right, now it is Dorinfin's turn.
Wallop him.
Yeah, I'm going to turn around and fire back at that dude.
So you're going to shoot an arrow. So when you're in hand-to-hand combat, your arrows are much harder to shoot.
So then technically then I could back up then and shoot him, right?
Yeah.
Because I can move?
Yes, disengaging is a thing. Your opponent, I don't think, gets a free hit against you, but there are some penalties. Do you have any hand-to-hand weapons instead?
No.
Like a sword or a dagger or anything like that?
I have a dagger, but...
Okay, so that you could use with no penalties. Otherwise, you need to look up disengaging. Let me know what you want to do.
Okay, I mean, what is a hand weapon? It just says hand weapon, and that's the same damage as my longbow.
The hand weapon is anything that's a one-handed weapon. It could be a sword, a dagger, okay. a mace.
Okay, then I do have that.
Okay, that's a fine weapon.
Okay.
So that's going to be an opposed melee check. He gets an 01, so that's plus Ooh. Five.
I'm plus two.
All right.
No, miss. Plus three.
This guy's like a stud, man.
I know.
Ching, ching, ching. All right, Bernie, you're up.
Is Gerd?
Gerd's over here, yep. Gerd's the fat one.
Is he still carrying his backpack? Or has he put it down?
I'm going to say he's dropped it for the combat. It's back here from where he ran. I'll put a gem over here where it was.
I'm going to keep an eye on that. Is it within distance?
You could run to it this turn.
I'm going to go pick it up.
Okay, there you are. Okay, so you run around this combat and grab his bag.
And look inside.
All right, there is stuff inside. All right, the discarded belongings and the trappings. The brigands, let's see. Okay, there's that. You find inside a, you find fishing equipment carried by the brigands. That amount to three small creels and three small nets. Hardly the degree of equipment you would expect from professional fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
You also find a bloodied cleaver that is still somewhat moist with blood, red blood.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll take it out. And, is anybody paying attention or in a position to?
Depends what you're saying.
I think everybody's engaged in
Everybody's combat. Engaged, but it really matters what you're
saying. I'll
just
shout out, we have the murder weapon.
Yeah. Hans says, well, that's something we can't allow you guys to keep. And he tells his men to to finish you off before you get a
drink
to show it to anyone.
Okay. Does that exhaust my actions and moves?
Yeah, unless you have something subtle to do. Like, the brigands at this point know they've been caught and are trying to fight their way out of it.
Right. Well, I don't want to use the cleaver because we need that. I will put it back in the backpack. Is it like, does it have straps?
Yeah, it's like a nice leather backpack. Like, not nice, but like a leather backpack.
I'll put it on my back.
Okay.
So that nobody can get it bag.
Here, this will be the backpack.
Okay. I think I have something that, because I'm sturdy, I'm less encumbered or something like that.
Okay, yeah, so you can take on additional stuff without penalty?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, so that's what I'll do. Otherwise, am I still allowed to move or no?
No, you've done your move, you sifted through stuff,
I'll stay where I am and kind of figure out who I need to help.
Okay, Joe.
Okay.
Reinhardt's up. Reinhardt, you're currently outnumbered, which is a penalty. You are outnumbered 2-1. I think it's a minus 20 to your rolls. We definitely need to make a photocopy of that bonuses sheet, because that one like gets used often. But anyway, go ahead while I find that. Here we go. Attacking whilst in mud, heavy rain. We could give everybody that, but we haven't yet so far, so we won't. A called shot for a specific location is minus 20 for you, Jay.
So did we do that right?
We did it, minus 20.
Oh, you don't get any penalties for attacking multiple combats. They just get benefits for hitting you.
Okay. I would like to try to intimidate him off of me. I pull out my dagger and I say, if you do not cease and desist now, this dagger will take off each one of your fingernails. Slowly.
Oh, man.
That's dark.
All right, here we go. Willpower.
Succeed.
This is going to be contested, so we're going for success levels. I have negative 3.
Plus 1.
All right, so you have 4 success levels, which allow you to intimidate additional targets. So you're basically speaking to the group at this point.
Okay.
It sinks in, and you hit Hans really hard with your last hit. He is on the verge of going down, and he knows it. He looks at you and takes a step back, and with a gesture of his hand, Gert takes a step aside too, and he says, "We yield," and he drops to a knee.
All right. Weapons down, team.
He does that. They drop their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "We yield. We'll comply." Let me catch myself up where we are. He says, "Peace, peace, peace. As Sigmar is our holy sovereign, will you lay off?" The men throw their weapons to the ground and raise their hands. "It's true. It's true. We killed the lying city boy. We did. We smothered him in his sleep, so he didn't suffer, but it wasn't our plan, you see. We were just following orders, that's all. It weren't nothing personal. He was ruining everything for Joanna, spoiling everything, a proper little saboteur. We had to do it for her sake, you see. She'd worked so long and so hard to get that commission. He would have ruined it all for her if we didn't stop him. He hired that incompetent dwarf and those work-shy foreigners. By Holiday's Eve, he would have spent all the funds we had meant to use for an entire year. All along, he swore to her that he knew what his business, that he knew his business better than she did. We all agreed, and he had to be gotten rid of.
You're Siegler's men.
He nods.
So she ordered the execution of her own partner. Is that right?
That's right.
And then sent us potentially to our deaths by making us go after this lizard basilisk thing.
Or to kill the people that she hired to do it, so it was completely
covered. It's a cover-up. Yeah, it's a cover-up. And she could have gotten rid of us in the process.
Right.
Yeah. If the beast had succeeded, which it didn't.
Which it didn't, yeah. I think we need to turn and go headhunt her.
Well, hold on now. We're going back into a camp where there are probably multiple people beholden to her.
They don't know we're coming for her, though.
How would she have known that the beast...
By the way, let's bind these guys up with their nets. Use their nets to, like, make sure they're secure, yeah?
You can...
Oh, yeah. I have rope.
Okay, if that's right. A better...
They,
a tool.
They agree. They will comply. They say, though, they want their lives spared.
But how would she have known that the monster was there?
They will... Hold on. Before you say that, there's conflicting sources of whether or not they get to survive this.
Oh no, my friend, we will keep them alive. We will keep them very alive.
Okay.
I can give you what you seek.
Han uneasily agrees and mentions he'll hold you to that. They'll help with whatever you need. They want to exchange that for not being killed.
Exchange what?
They'll work with you.
Oh, they'll cooperate.
They'll cooperate. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. How would she have known, or been guaranteed that the basilisk was active? So if she knew that he was active or suspected, then she must have known we had set him free with whatever.
Or this creature was already there. Already in the area.
Yeah, we'd have to confirm that information. Ask our fellers here. Did they know of the beast beforehand? Was he pre-existing, or did we set it free?
They say...
I suspect they didn't know he would be there because they were caught unawares when they headed towards the swamp area and realized it was there. They tried to run back, so...
Well, if that's the case, why would they try to...
Hans nods and says that we've all heard the rumors. I mean, this thing is a legend, and he kind of, like, kicks it and says, but no one ever thought it was real.
If you didn't think it was real, why are there three walking sticks that tell me otherwise?
Well, everybody knows the legend that it's real, but nobody...
The walking sticks were a setup by Joanna to make it look to us as though there was, in fact, a monster headed towards the swamp, so that we took the bait and headed towards the swamp, where she knew we would find the real basilisk, and thereby meet our doom.
He tilts his head and says, well, you were actually supposed to meet us.
You were all supposed to kill us.
Okay, so she didn't know that the basilisk would be...
He says, I don't think any of us knew this thing was real.
Okay.
In real, like, how long has it been since a creature like this has been seen?
I don't know if it's ever been seen in our lifetime. Okay. As far as I can remember back, this swamp's been haunted, and people know not to go here because something's in here, but... No one's seen it.
Okay.
All right. What's the combat contingency back at the camp? Are you guys it? Are you the only security she has there?
Well, we're from Grouse. We're not even part of the camp.
Oh no. So hired mercenaries in?
He nods.
Where are your change pouches? Where's your coin?
He offers up. It's a, he motions to the backpack.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that.
So you are you gonna rifle through it now? You would have found it. There's 5 silver and a good handful of 20 copper coins.
So I want to know how much did our lives cost.
He says that she gave us a handful of silver.
Sigmar demands more 10% tithes.
we can split it later.
He said it's more than we've seen in a year.
This yeah, won't well, be like the bar where you took all the money and ran.
We can split it when we get back to camp.
So, any other questions, or are we heading back to camp?
So how do you guys want to play this? Are we just going to forthrightly say we've captured them? Or do we want to, like, try to make it seem like...
I think they need to not know we've found these people and just right. walk right back into camp, like right to her, like happened. Nothing's wrong.
So, but well, what are we going to do with them then?
Well, I think I would be on the outskirts of the camp guarding them.
I think, yeah, somebody's got to stay behind
them. Right, we use them as leverage.
So, from a law perspective in the world, there's a couple options here. Okay. You know, like,
law perspective.
I mean, like Layla, you and Jay are not authorities in the law in any way. Right. So, what your options would be is try and take these guys and turn them into somebody who is a law official. Uh-huh. City guard, town watch, you know. Joe, on the other hand, you are pseudo law, right? Yeah. Like you are an official, but you also are not the place. You're not the end of the road, right? Your job would also be to turn them
right.
in.
Right. I'm FBI. I need to turn them into CIA, basically.
Yeah. You need to turn them into the city watch. Would be like the standard protocol here.
Right. Right.
Now, city watch, you guys are not in the city, so you have some options, or you may need to drag these guys with you wherever you go, or cut them loose, or whatever you want to do.
But for purposes of dealing with Joanna...
Well, I say get our money back from her first. You know, show her that we killed the beast, and then call her out on her trifling ways.
So as a refresher on what is back at camp, we have Joanna,
the dwarf.
We have the dwarf, and we have the Strigani workers.
Right.
That's it.
All
right. Yeah, but they're just hired workers, right?
We can convince them to take our side. We released the area of that spirit, so... I would imagine we can convince them.
Sure.
And you rescued Vodama, the older woman.
Yep.
So you're in good standing with the Strigani.
I don't think she's going to have anything.
What more do we?
She's not suspecting us coming back.
What more do we want from her besides the coin? Though?
I
want
to. We get money. The coin and then we bring her to justice.
Okay.
What is bringing her to justice?
Taking her to Grassi, where she'll face the city watch there.
So we're going to drag all four of these guys back to the city, and we're going to turn them in.
After we get paid,
Uber's Reich, which is hometown.
Okay.
That would be probably the most logical place to go.
Sounds good.
You have contacts there.
Okay. Okay. Everybody on board with that?
Sure.
All right.
So they help
reluctantly.
You. They help you along the way, and you guys make it back. They occasionally try to remind you that, you know, they'll cooperate as long as you... bring them back in one piece.
You don't have to keep telling me that. I know you're going to cooperate.
So you soon return to the camp, ostensibly to seek payment from Stiegler, or perhaps to accuse her of orchestrating Ruder's death. So the journey back through the Orshtlam is arduous but uneventful, and by the time you return to camp, evening has fallen. The skies are deep, dark blue as twilight gathers around them. In the distance, you can spot many caravans and carts on the move, moving away from the worksite. It seems like the camp is being deserted, and a slow train of Strigani wagons makes its way northwards along the road towards Ubersreich. A few forlorn Strigani wagons remain, but their owners are clearly in the business of packaging their belongings and preparing to move on. The ground is dotted with scorched pits where once the Strigani kept their cook fires. Thulgrim, the dwarf, is nowhere to be seen. Only two dwellings remain in the same state they did before you left. One is the impressive tent that once belonged to Rutger Reuter, and the other is the opulent wagon of his partner in business, Johanna Stiegler.
His tent is now empty?
His tent is still here because he's dead.
Right, but it's empty?
Well, I wouldn't say it's empty. It's got stuff in it.
Of humans who would interfere with my being in there.
No one appears to be there.
Okay, I want to go look in it.
All right, you walk in there. All this stuff's still there. I mean, it's not opulent, but I mean, it's pretty respectable.
I'm going to start going through it, just like see if I find anything.
There's some, like middle-class merchant garb. He's got like writing implements. He's got a desk and a chest and like just a bed.
Anything in the chest?
Nothing of like substance. He's got some paperwork. He's got extra clothes. It's If you're looking for valuables, there's nothing of interest.
More like something that sticks out as interesting, but if he has nothing...
No, nothing of nothing of value.
While she's doing that, you know, I've got the prisoners, and I'm on the outskirts of the camp there. I bind them all to the tree that's right there. All right. I pull out my instruments of torture, specifically this pair of tongs of sorts.
What did we call it? No, the duckbill one. What was his favorite one? It was the...
I forget.
It was the gynecological instrument.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. This is the opposite of this. This is more of a vice clamp that is a ratcheting tool. So it gets tighter and tighter with each squeeze.
Oh.
All right, so...
You show it to Hans?
No, I don't show it to Hans. I put it gently on his nose, and I say, "You make a sound," and I squeeze. And I start squeezing, and I show him what it does, and it gets tighter and tighter, and I show the release.
Yeah, he nods and says he understands.
Okay. Just making sure that you cooperate like you said.
You said that we said we would.
Shh. We said we would.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to search out then Joanna.
And
I think I'm headed to Joanna.
You guys are both headed to Joanna? Okay.
And you're still dragging the basilisk head?
Heck yeah!
Okay. Hey, as you're
how
walking
are the Strigani taking this?
Well, most of them are gone. They've walked away. But as you're walking in, there is a small lad who's sitting there. Looks like he's waiting for somebody. Probably you guys. And you see him before, kind of in between you and the Stiegler wagon. And he sees you. You've seen him before. He's been with the Strigani, and he kind of waves to you to come talk to him.
Okay.
So, the young lad waiting behind for you to return has some information. He says he has some information he wants to share with you, and he also says that Vodama gives her kindest regards. He tells you that. You may invoke Vodama's name should you ever meet Strigani again in the future. If they are honest and fair folk, and they know of her, you will be treated well. He additionally tells you that the Strigani are leaving. They're not in the best of moods, but they're heading back to Uber's Reich. He tells you that. He's been instructed to tell you Thulgrim has vanished shortly after you made your way into the swamp. And with him, he took the Reuter-Stiegler payment chest.
Okay.
He also tells you that many of the Strigani were friendly with Thulgrim, so it is possible that he hitched a ride with one of their caravans and is headed to Uber's Reich.
Mm-hmm.
Stiegler went to pieces upon realizing the money has been gone, and she has not left her wagon in the meantime and has been heard weeping loudly and cursing.
But she's really not going to be happy when we get to her.
The Strigani have had enough of Grassi given the curse. They have finally given in to Vodama's warnings, and most of them are taking the opportunity to visit Uber's Reich and the city, as it has seems like a dynamic place of opportunity now that the nobles are no longer in charge there.
Okay.
He thanks you guys for being good people, and says he's going to go run and try and catch up.
I bid him well. And I don't begrudge Thulgrim the money, because I've kind of felt like it was his all along anyway, since he did most of the work. I'm not really interested in pursuing him, but I do want to go talk to Joanna.
Okay, well, if you guys are interested in Thulgrim, there is stuff to talk about there.
That's right. The dude that ran off with the money chest?
The dwarf who the...
Well, I think we need to find out where our money ran off to. We're supposed to be paid for this.
Okay, so you guys head up to Stiegler's wagon. I'm going to say the three of you are now together.
Well, get Joanna?
That's Stiegler.
Oh, yeah.
Joanna Stiegler.
No, he's with the prisoners.
I'm with the prisoners, okay, but I mean, she's the only one there now? Like,
pretty much.
Okay, then yeah, I'll...
Then we could just stake them outside her.
Give me the all clear so I can unbind these fools and bring them along. Is it all clear?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's all clear. Great. Okay.
Send them in. There's nobody here.
Awesome.
You're just like... yeah.
silent. And Jay's like, it's all clear. No one's here. Come on down. Okay, so Stiegler. Stiegler is distraught. She stays in her wagon trying to figure out what to do next. You guys bang on her door. You hear her weeping as you walk up already anyway. You hear something fall and something thrown against the wall and break. She's obviously upset inside. You knock and she opens. She sees that she welcomes you in and says, by now I assume you know everything's gone. He's taken the money. I'm ruined.
You sent us to be killed. To the swamp there. We have your men. And also the basilisk.
Right, yeah, so he owes some money.
So yeah. She begins, just, she breaks down crying. And
I bind her.
Well, hold on. I mean, you begin binding her as she's breaking down here.
Sure, she can keep crying.
she says your gold crowns are in the pouch right there. It's all I have left.
Oh, well, there you go.
We're taking it all.
She weeps uncontrollably as she does so.
How many?
She tells.
I'll go check out how many crowns.
There's 10.
Oh, great.
She tells you all that in as much empathy as she can summon, or request. Pulling as much empathy as she can from you, she tells you that Thulgrim has stolen the chest of money and that she plans to head back to Ubersreich and contact her family and try and find new funding for a project while they track down the thieving dwarf. She's happy to give you a lift to Ubersreich if you want, but she suspects that's not what you have in mind. She says that if you'll help her recover the chest, she'll give you 10% of what's in it.
But you're responsible for the murder of
your partner.
What's his name again?
Reuter.
I'm afraid we have to turn you in.
And the hired execution of us. You hired people to kill us.
She provides you with a tear-filled confession.
I don't care about.
I'm going to start leading her over to the witch hunter.
She knew about the monster, and used it to cover to kill Reuter. Further. She assumed the monster would kill the brigands and probably you too, thus covering up her crime. She simply does not possess the reserve or willpower needed to argue the point any further. But she does beg you not to turn her into the authorities.
What motivation do we have to keep you away from the authorities?
She gives you the same sort of excuses offered by the brigands, that Reuter was ruining everything as a result of his incompetence and dishonesty. She states that she is not a killer and acted out of her character as a result of the pressure she was under and the terrible dreams she was suffering. She asks you to show her clemency.
I can't. I have
Trust
to turn
me,
her in.
Trust me, my clemency would be much worse than anything you'd face.
Yeah.
In Ubersreich prison, my dear.
You can take prison or you can take death.
She says that if you'll allow her to go, not only would she be grateful, of course, but she would be a very important contact amongst the Ubersreich mercantile families, as well as offering some opportunities to travelers in Ubersreich to help track down Thulgrim.
You've just lost everything. You will say or do anything to sway us to your side. I mean, if you've got nothing left, what contacts could you possibly have that would be beneficial at this point?
She says, by no doubt you know at this point that the noble families of Ubersreich have been pushed out of power by the Emperor Karl Franz and his armies.
Who's that?
Oh, who is that?
I'm kidding.
She says that leaves a vacuum of power where the mercantile families all now can rise. We are some of the most... I mean, I realize I am in trouble here, but my family and families we know can be good contacts for you should you choose to let this be redefined.
I'm not interested.
She nods and...
I kind of got a problem with someone trying to kill me.
She nods. And so you take her into custody, and the group ventures back towards Ubersreich.
With some stiff elbows over here.
Some stiff elbows. You've got the three, you got these three fellows, and you've got Joanna Stiegler. Now, how are we getting back to Ubersreich? We're going to kind of play a little high level here.
Are there any coaches? You can,
her wagon's left, ain't it?
Her wagon is left.
Oh, okay.
I assume she has horses because it had to get here somehow.
I would assume so.
Let's go ahead and say you can take her wagon, or you can you can catch up to the Strigani.
Well, we can use her wagon to catch the Strigani, can't we? Because they're going in the same direction.
Yep.
Well, cool. Yeah. Do we need them for anything? The Strigani.
I don't know. They said that. Didn't someone say he might be hiding in their wagons?
Thulgrim might be with the Strigani.
Oh,
on his way to Ubersreich.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Well, you guys make it to Ubersreich. You don't go that much faster than the Strigani, but you all make it there.
No, the horses have haste.
Do we have any interest in tracking down Thulgrim?
I personally do not.
Jay, I know you do.
I'm not going to say that I don't.
What if we happen upon him, I'm sure I'll hear of him in the Dwarven Channel somehow, so...
You said some magic words there. Are you happening to go to the Dalihafen, of Ubersreich?
Well,
the,
naturally.
The Dwarven
District? That's where we're going, then yeah.
Yeah, like, we're going back to town.
I visit the Dalihafen anytime I'm at Ubersreich.
Yeah, that's like a must stop.
Yeah. Okay,
an elf.
So to do a little lore action here... Ubersreich is going to be kind of the home of our adventures. It is a sizable town. Here's a picture of it. It's got a big keep. It's got this amazingly built dwarven bridge in the center. It's a walled city, dwarven built walls. So this is a town that's been, it's kind of a trade center of the region.
It's Winterfell.
It's the dwarven Winterfell.
So I'm going to read you just the first couple paragraphs of the highest level overview of Ubersreich, and then as we do further adventures, we can tap into some of the special locations here. So, nestled in the craggy shadows of the Grey Mountains, the fortress town of Ubersreich guards the Grey Lady Pass, the only, reliable trade route from the Reichland into the Bretonian Duchy. It stands in the fertile Lady's Vale, astride the River Tufel, and is connected by roads traversing the Reichland in all directions. The town profits from the never-ending stream of trade following through its busy mercantile districts, handling goods from Bretonnia, the Dwarven Holds, the Grey Mountains, and beyond. Ubersreich's roads are choked with coaches, wagons, horses carrying goods to and fro. It is news of the town's prosperity is spread across the Reichland, resulting in a constant stream of folk too poor or very rich coming in and out for trading purposes. All this traffic makes the town surprisingly cosmopolitan. In addition to a sizable dwarf quarter, many halflings call the town home. Humans from across the grand provinces of the empire can be found walking its streets and drinking its ale. It is also host to a significant community of Bretonnian expats and even a small Tillian compound. Prospectors, hunters, and adventurers strike out from Ubersreich into the Grey Mountains, seeking gold, fame, fortune, and infamy amongst its jagged peaks. Most notably, though, Ubersreich's rulers, the Jungfreuds, were controversially removed from power following a decree from the Emperor Karl Franz. This unexpected command was enforced by troops that were sent from the capital, Altdorf, and compliance was mercilessly secured. This occupying force garrisons in the Black Rock Castle, which is the fort of Ubersreich, a nigh-impenetrable bastion. Now armed soldiers sporting Altdorf's red and blue livery leave there to tour the surrounding land, enforcing the Emperor's justice with scant regard for the traditions and the wishes of the stunned locals. So, you catch word visiting the Dalihafen, which is the dwarf quarter.
Wait, so we're already there?
Yeah, good there. We're gonna.
So
we're
we
gonna,
turned in Joanna and the.
We'll get there. This whole part's a little more like summarized and kind of high level. So, it's the finale kind of like.
Got it. Alrighty.
You catch word that he has passed through here, and rumor is he's getting ready to leave town and maybe work his way up into the Grey Mountains.
Oh, okay.
Having been here before and being familiar with the Dwarven District, you know there's only one place that someone would go to in preparation for going out into the Great Mountains. And that would be... where is it here? It is the Nordwander and Sons Expeditionary Supplies, a dwarven-held establishment in Ubersreich.
Mm-hmm.
So just to try this out, try our new Ubersreich book out. Let's see what they have a little one paragrapher for all these places. So let's see what it's got. Nordwander and Sons Expeditionary Supplies, a large, low-ceilinged building. Nordwander and Sons prides itself on selling anything its clientele will need to mount expeditions into the Grey Mountains. A one-stop shop for mountaineering, rock climbing, and camping outdoors. It carries pitons, ropes, mallets, crampons, picks, chisels, rations, tents, bedrolls, and anything else a party may need before venturing out into the mountainous terrain. The shop initially catered exclusively to dwarves, but when word of the quality of their gear got out and the fairness of their prices, others soon made their way to Dalwihafen. They now stock clothing and tools that better suit non-dwarf physiognomies. Is that how you say that? Physiognomies. That's a lot of letters. Yet are of the same fine dwarf manufacture. Despite their broader clientele, the shop is still set up with dwarves in mind, with low ceilings and broad aisles. Now, Gudrum Nordwander is good-natured for a dwarf. He is delighted to be sharing his high-quality wares with a wider customer base, though he is quick to identify those who are not what they are, who are not what they say they are talking about. Customers expressing ignorance on a basic aspect of mining or climbing will find themselves treated to a lecture lasting far longer than most can tolerate. Belorn, an energetic beardling, and Gudrum's son, assists in the shop. Now, Belorn, his son, he dreams of leaving Ubersreich and undertaking his own expedition, not just outfitting the endeavors of others, but that's for another time. Now, Thulgrim has just recently left, they said. He's been outfitted, he paid for a bunch of supplies, settled some debts, and is just leaving. He just left not a few minutes ago.
Hmm.
They said he was headed to the West Gate.
While we're in here, that's good. We should, I guess we're going to try to follow him. But I also want to know if the shop owner knows anything about the lost dwarf.
Let's save that
expedition.
He says that a expedition has recently or was outfitted several months ago, and he had a location, but he doesn't remember where it is. He needs to go look it up in his notes and says, "Come visit him again."
Okay.
He identified them as outfitted in blue outfits and things that all kind of start to match up against the general description that you've been following.
So I know...
They were going to try and retake some particular hold that is... that he knows other dwarf families in town don't want retaken for some reason.
Okay. Well, so I know that the elf wants to go after... I keep wanting to call him Thorgood.
Thulgrim.
But what do you want to do?
I mean,
are you that interested in the money?
No, I beg your pardon. Not really. I kind of skipped over accidentally the. You would have had opportunities to turn in your people along the way here, to the town guard or the watch,
right?
As you entered town, is that what would have happened?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like,
so they're taken into custody.
Mm-hmm.
As time passes, the verdict of what's going to happen to Stiegler will be made public. In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, you guys presumably are going to chase down Thulgrim.
I kind of wanted to know what happened to Stiegler.
Yeah, you'll find out in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You guys turned her in to the authorities, told her the story. So, I assume Jay's chasing down the money since he seemed the most gung-ho about that.
I'm down for that.
All right. You chase him down. He is not that hard to find. He doesn't know he's being chased quite yet. Thulgrim, let's see, you manage to chase down Thulgrim the dwarf. He relents and surrenders, willing to accept his fate. Thulgrim, tries to explain himself. Thogrim says he was once an honorable dwarf, one of the last descendants of Clan Thraga, a noble clan from Karak Asgaraz. Facing penury, his family entered into business dealings with two merchants from Ubersreich, Reuter and Stiegler. But they did not deal in good faith, and Stiegler cynically exploited vagaries in Ubersreich's legal codes to defraud the Thagas of their remaining gold, thus robbing Thulgrim's children of their entire inheritance. Thulgrim's eldest son was so ashamed at having lost everything on behalf of his family that he took the Slayer Oath. Thulgrim's remaining two children called on ancient favors for survival. When he found out what had happened, Thulgrim was livid. He desired immediate vengeance for what Reuter and Stiegler had done to him and his family. So when he heard they were embarking upon a new venture using his money to build a watermill, he posed as a lowly engineer and offered his services. From the outset, he intended to take back every penny stolen from him, regardless of what human law may have said was legal. However, whilst he bore the merchants a grudge, he never intended for Rutger to die, and that has taken much of the fight out of him. Thulgrim knows he has not acted honorably, and he regrets much of what has happened. He does not wish to fight you, and will hand over the chest to its lawful owners if they demand it. But he has already spent most of the money settling debts owed to the dwarves of Ubersreich, so there's only 15... Sophie, beat
Sophie,
it.
Enough.
There are only 15 gold crowns remaining in the chest.
Enough. No more.
Further, Thulgrim firmly believes the money belongs to his family, not the faithless merchants. He asks... even though he firmly believes the money is his, even if he used dishonorable means to reclaim the funds. So he attempts to appeal to you and your good sense to let him go and keep his money.
Yeah, right.
I'm not there.
I'm not there either.
Oh, neither of you went?
No.
Okay.
I'm taking his money.
Because wait, so it's either go or stick around and find out what happens to Stiegler?
No. You can all go. Stiegler's tomorrow morning.
Oh.
You can all be there.
Yeah, I mean, I would have come with him, though I would have made clear to you that the only reason I'm going is to more or less stand up for Thulgrim, because I'm on his side.
All right, I had no desire to go over there. I feel like justice has been served. We got cash.
So the elf and the dwarf go chasing.
You know what? How about I just give you my cut of whatever change we ended up getting?
You're at Thulgrim making this deal?
Yeah, we're with Thulgrim, so I'm with Sorenfin.
Dorenfin.
Dorenfin and Thulgrim, so I kind of, I don't know, I feel for Thulgrim, like, he's been pretty wronged, and, like, I know what that feels like, so.
He's also from your hometown.
He's also from my hometown, I want him to, like, take what he needs, so I'm willing to give up more of my cut that we got from the coin purses to you, instead of you taking it from Thulgrim.
He has more coin than we got for the entire job. And he stole it.
He's been swindled left and right. His entire family has gone under because of these people. I feel like he's gotten a poor end of the stick here, and I don't
so
need...
So justifies him stealing it from the other people?
I don't need 5 extra gold or whatever it is we would have gotten from this chest. You can have that from me, so I'm willing to give you that from my own
in
share.
In order to leave him alone.
Yeah, in order to leave him alone.
I guess since you want this guy to live so much.
I have no problem with him at all.
All right, well... Thulgrim thanks you heartily. The weight of shame for his dishonorable actions compels him, he says, to swear the Slayer Oath as well. And as soon as his family receives whatever funds he has left, he'll assuming he's allowed to keep any. Otherwise, though, he gives you what remains of the chest. Or how did that deal work out? You're paying him, and he gets to keep...
He's keeping whatever he's got.
He says he's going to deliver it to his family and then take the Slayer Oath. Though he does... This is directed exclusively at you, Bernie. He says You have certainly earned his gratitude, and he will swear to come to your aid if ever you need it, assuming he's not already dead.
I thank him, and I ask him to just give word to my family that, you know, like, I'll see them soon.
So I would make a note that you have Thulgrim the Slayer as, like, a indebted
party.
Ally.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you guys celebrate at the Red Moon Inn.
So we're drinking.
It's a seedy place. Or, you know, are we celebrating somewhere nice tonight? Because there's a nicer inn. There's a nice inn here. The town is known for one particular inn that's quite the place to go if you have the money to spend.
Let me settle my... Let's settle the monies.
Okay. While you do that, I'm going to look up the Bridge House Inn. That's
so
the
there
fancy
was,
place.
There were 10 gold coins. There were five silvers.
And 20 copper.
And 20 copper. So we can... I'll just give you... Can I give you 5 gold and you 5 gold, and I just won't take any gold, and that'll make good on my portion of the gold that I promised to you?
I'm okay with that.
All right.
So, I toss 2 gold coins back to you.
Okay.
I say...
So you guys settled... Are you guys celebrating tonight, or is this like
I got 5.
Are we going
you get tonight? 5.
No, I give her 2 gold coins and say, but you buy the first round of drinks. And this time, don't fall out after the first round.
Yeah, no best now.
should we end it with a drinking contest and then seeing...
Yes,
and then
consume
go to, tomorrow
alcohol.
Morning, we...
I now
we
have see. It as a trait, too.
Huzzah.
So tomorrow morning,
you
we'll
guys,
see what Stiegler's doing.
Are you guys going to want any of the silvers, or what?
There's
5 silvers.
Yeah, you gave up all the gold. So
what's
the
conversion?
The
how many silver per
right.
gold? Is it 100 per gold? Or?
I have that.
I think
here.
It was 10 per gold.
It's not. It's a pretty rough conversion. It's like 12, I think, for the gold.
Oh, okay.
Did I put that on here? If not, I can get it for you in a minute. I'd prefer you not do the conversion for now. Just kind of write.
I'll just keep it.
Just keep it. Yeah.
Money. Here we go.
So drinks on me for the night.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh,
yeah.
You could with a couple of silver. You can feed everyone.
Okay.
Here it is. So 1 gold crown is worth 20 silver, and one silver is worth 10 brass or 12 brass.
Okay.
So, are you guys celebrating in the seedy inns, the middle tier inns, or the nice inns tonight?
The nice inns.
Oh, yeah.
The Bridge House Inn. This is the famous inn. This is at the base of the Major Dwarven Bridge. The Bridge House is perfectly situated in the center of Ubersreich on the main thoroughfare near Ubersreich's bridge, offering spectacular views of the dwarven-made marvel. The inn has large stables and a sizable coach house, and also serves as Ubersreich's bustling post office. Although locals rarely eat or drink here, balking at the prices, the fare is good, the portions are generous, and the selection of beverages broad. Because it, unless you wanted to go to the dwarven inn.
Oh.
That has a famous brewery next door.
I mean, yeah, that would be my preference, but if we're celebrating the three of us, then I'll go with that.
This would be the more common group.
Yeah.
All right. Because of this, it is common haunt for the wealthier merchants, travelers, and those with coin to burn. The lower floor is a broad tap room, which also serves as a common room and dining room, and it has several curtained booths for more clandestine meetings. There is also a spacious kitchen, sizable larder, 2 offices, 2 private dining rooms, and quarters for the staff. This place is run by Gunther Abend, a retired coachman who manages the inn. Being aware of the stresses of the job, he works hard to provide a hostel that fulfills their needs. He is supported by Hanna, his wife, and their 3 children, as well as 9 others, including cooks, servants, chambermaids, and postmasters. An outdoorfer by birth, Abend has been very welcoming towards the visiting imperial troops, upsetting a few of his local customers. You guys get drunk. Let's do the drinking contest, and then we'll wrap up for the night.
Do I actually have to?
Let's see. What did...
So it's off of consume alcohol, right?
Remember, if you fail a consume alcohol test, you get a point. If you have more points than your toughness bonus, you're out.
Can I just drink?
Okay.
Like, without doing the contest?
You sure can. Alright, Jay wins.
I'm just gonna watch you too.
Alright, here's your first one.
Come on.
Alright,
if you're paying, you gotta drink.
I'll supply you with as many drinks as you two want. I'll just
Oh, come on. You're supposed to be able to drink us all under the table.
I don't.
Alright, round. Lily buys round 2.
I'm buying round 2. I wanna be awake for whatever happens to Steve.
Good to go.
That's a hundy.
Oh, wow. All
right. What's your threshold for each of you, for your toughness value?
4 for my toughness.
Toughness is 4.
All right, so whoever gets their fourth token first is knocked out.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All right, again.
Nope.
Nope and nope. Boom and boom. 2-2.
That would be a no.
Oh, that's a yes.
Nice.
All right, Jay is one away from passing out.
Yep.
Nope, I passed
out. Oh, the elf goes down.
But which hunter wins again?
That's two. You guys drink yourselves into the evening and have a roaring good time. In the morning, you wake up and... Where are you? Stiegler has been taken to the local authorities. They investigate her crimes, quickly determine her guilt, and she is executed publicly in the morning for murder.
Oh, snap.
Nice.
She is hung, and then her body is put up on the ramparts on a noose of the city.
Nice.
You see her there for the several days to come.
And I wonder to myself what this will do for the politics of the region.